Today on Real Radio.
We have a message entitled like this, Pride on Parade? What in the world is going on? How could something raise its ugly head in the way of pride right in the midst of all that Jesus was doing?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. The section we're examining records a dispute among the closest followers of Jesus about who would be greatest in his kingdom. The Messiah's answer was not quite what they expected. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Pride on Parade.
Luke 22, it's a huge chapter, a lot of stuff going on. If you think about it, Luke chapter 22, it's right in the shadow of the cross. I think you already know that. Jesus is just hours away now from being arrested. He's going to be taken from Caiaphas's house. He's going to go from the Garden of Gethsemane, for one thing, to Caiaphas's house, to the Praetorium Guard. He'll arrive before Pilate, and Herod will be there because it's a high holy weekend. It's Passover weekend. Israel is plumped now with worshipers. Estimated 2.5 to 3 million people have come into the city. And right now in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is in the shadow of the cross. He has just told the disciples that he's going to be betrayed and that he is going to be crucified and that he's announced to them that his betrayer is even among them. And they remember, they began to question among themselves who it might be. Judas is there with them. They're in the upper room. That is over on the southern side of the old city of David. Areas of excavation that are there today. And they've gathered together to celebrate the Passover meal. But Jesus institutes the communion service. And he said, last week, you know, this is the bread. This is the cup. And he announced to them that he would be going to the cross. And in light of all of that incredible revelation, he gets up and he girds himself and he services these guys in an act of love in washing their feet. God himself in human skin washing the feet of his followers. Have you ever had your foot washed or your feet washed? There is a gathering together. There is a bonding of the heart that is very, very unique. It announces service and love. If you've had your feet washed, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, which do you think would be harder, to wash someone's feet or to have your feet washed? You're smarter than the average bear. And that is true. It's to have your feet washed. You would think it'd be harder to wash someone's feet. It's much harder to have your feet washed. You want to know why? You're very self-conscious about your feet. It's kind of like, what? What? Don't you know? Didn't Peter even say, you're not touching my feet? I understand and I relate to him on that one. Jesus serves them by washing their feet, and in doing that, communicates to them not only the example of servant leadership, that he said, you've seen what I've done to you, now you do to your brethren, but also this, to allow them, to get them, to feel that feel of being humbled before the very works of God. Church, if God is using this church, if God is using us, we should be the most humble people on the planet. If God is using us, we should be usable, pliable, willing, at his beck and call, because we've learned that Father knows best. We've learned that God is good and that he actually allows us to be involved in what he wants to do. It's incredible. So we're going to learn a few things today, and it's going to kind of shock us, because after all of that that they had seen, we have a message entitled like this, Pride on Parade? What in the world is going on? How could something raise its ugly head in the way of pride right in the midst of all that Jesus was doing? Well, it's because there were humans in the room. Peter, James, John, and the gang. And there's humans in this room. and we struggle with this thing called pride. It's a very dangerous thing. We'll talk about it and learn about it. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 24, it says, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them," this is kind of hilarious, read it carefully, "as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles,'" that is the nations, "exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors." That's a title. Presidents, kings, rulers, leaders, big guys, boss. "But not so among you," verse 26 says. "On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? And yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now you'd think right there the message would stop. And there is a difference and there is a divide in what happens right here in verse 31. "And the Lord said to Peter," the Greek implies that Jesus makes that announcement to everybody, and then he turns to Peter. Can you imagine that being you at the table? You've already just heard a moment ago that the betrayer is sitting at the table. You've heard that one of them is a devil, possessed conniver. Jesus turns to Peter and looks right at him and says, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Wow. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, that is Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then Jesus said to Peter, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." And we stop right here. Point number one in our study today about pride, verses 24 to 26, it's this, that pride loves its own attention. That's what's going on right here. Pride loves its own attention, and it starts this way. Church, mark it down. Pride refuses to serve. It will not be a servant. Jesus had been giving them examples. They had seen the Son of God, who, mind you, had been raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, preaching the word of God, feeding them with no charge, just food coming out of baskets. They saw it all. And you would think that when God is in the midst of doing something, that it would so freak you out and bring you to a point of humility that you'd be walking around saying, "Wow." That when people said, "Hey, are you one of the 12 guys who works with Jesus?" that you would say, "Can you believe it?" That you would just be absolutely blown away. They had seen it all. But when pride begins to surface, pride says to us, "Hey, you don't have to serve. You don't have to be a servant. You are, in fact, it's best for you to be served. You should be the servant. You should be the one that the servants come to you. You should be the one that's taken care of." It's amazing how this could creep in to the heart of the disciples. And it says in verse 24 that a dispute breaks out among them. The word dispute's a powerful word. This is not some sort of a little bit of an elevation of, "Hey, I think I should be the one that runs the show here." Oh, no. This word dispute means that it was a bitter argument between them, and it means between them all. It doesn't mean that there was one side, "Peter, Peter, we're for you. Peter, you know, whatever." And then the other side, it's not somebody on the table saying, you know, "Andrew, Andrew, you're our man. If anybody can lead us, Andrew can." It's none of that. How do you like that? It's none of that going on. It's none of that. It's not this group against that group at the table. The Greek word of this literally means each one was arguing for their own preeminence. They were fighting among themselves. In other words, James was saying, "I should be the one that is in charge." John is saying, "No, it's supposed to be me." And Peter says, "Come on, I'm bigger than all of you guys. It's going to be me." Each one of them argues their point. Can you imagine? Have you ever been to the Middle East? Have you ever been there? It's awesome. Lebanon, Israel, Iraq, Jordan, I don't care where you, Egypt, it's beautiful. When they're talking, that culture, when it talks, they look like they're in helicopter practice. They're talking like this. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go next? They're so passionate about it, about everything. What are you doing? I'd like to have a Pepsi, please, and a taco, or what? I was like, can you imagine those guys being at the table talking about this? It's very much a big deal to them. They just got to get there, blessed by Jesus. And somehow this thing pops up. It's popped up in the past. James and John's mom came to Jesus earlier on, some months ago, and said, Jesus, excuse me, I'd like to speak to you. I'm their mother, she says. Ooh. Can you make sure that in your kingdom my sons sit on both sides of your throne? Isn't that just like a mom? You know, when everything comes together and it's all amazing and you return and it's going to be great, can you just make sure that my two boys are up front and center? What a mom. Where would we be without moms like that, huh? Ambition, pride, in the shadow of the cross. It says that they were arguing about this as to which of them should be considered. This is remarkable. Considered the greatest. The word considered here in Greek means which one of them should be the one most highly esteemed, with the greatest reputation. The one who receives the energy or the focus of the other's thoughts. Not only do they argue that we want the spot, we want the spot in the kingdom and in your heart. We want you to understand that Peter is our man. We want you to know that Andrew, we want you to, James is saying, when you think about authority, I want you to think about me. You say, Jack, you got to be kidding me. I know, that's amazing that this is even going on. But think about this. If we are to be true servants of God, a real servant of God doesn't insert him or herself into such arguments because they're servants of God. They don't even get into battles like this. They lift up the Lord Jesus. They're in love with Jesus. They're so happy to be on their way to heaven and that God would use them at all. It's all about Jesus. When it's not about Jesus, it's about us. It's about how big the church is. It's about how much money's coming in. It's about, did our name make it in the paper? It's about what this thing, and what about, oh my, you know what my church says, and you know, well, my pastor's, hey, don't go that route. That is carnal. That is divisive. You know what? Jesus, can you believe it? Jesus is doing this at our church in spite of us. Jesus wants to do this. We don't even know what we're doing. Somebody asked me recently on an interview for a magazine, tell us what great things God is doing at your church. And I said, I'm not exactly sure. It always drives reporters crazy when you say that. I'm not exactly sure. Well, how many people attend? I'm not exactly sure. Well, where will the church be in the next 10 years? Heaven, I hope. I'm not sure. Listen, I'm his servant. We are his servant. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says there are six things that God hates. Yes, seven are abomination to God. Verse 17 goes on to say it is number one, topping the list of the top six, the top seven of what God hates list. It's pride. Pride, a proud look. Isn't it a proud look? Isn't it pride that keeps you and I from making up with people and healing relationships? Honestly, come on, isn't it pride that keeps you and I from being happy when we found out or we find out that our coworker just got the promotion and we didn't? Why do we freak? If we're Christians, look, if you're not a Christian, go ahead and freak. I understand that. But if you are a Christian, we shouldn't freak. Isn't it pride that keeps you and I from speaking well of other people? We're afraid that they might get the limelight of it all. Didn't Jesus say, you are the light of the world? Didn't Jesus say, you're the salt of the earth? Doesn't the Holy Spirit speak through Paul the Apostle and say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Man, that's awesome. Pride can't talk like that. Pride is terrified to give somebody a compliment because they might be encouraged. And when pride is ruling and reigning in the heart, there's this devilish attempt to get everybody in the room down to either equal to where you're at or down below. Anything but up. And that's exactly the atmosphere of what's going on in that room. Secondly, in this point, pride seeks to be in control. Pride wants to control things. Verse 25 says, Jesus said, the kings of the nations of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. It's not to be. The world has its form of leadership, and the world loves it. The church is supposed to be something, Jesus says, completely different. What is one of the great signs that Jesus is in control of a church? Is that church praying? Does that church leadership pray? Is the word of God consulted? Is God consulted in prayer? And then does it move outside of itself to reach the lost and to reach those that are hurting around it? That's very, very important. Jesus is not so among you. The world is all caught up with titles and authorities, powers and positions. The word benefactors, that word can be translated any title, any place of authority. Governor, president, reverend, father. Did you know the Bible? Listen, did you know Jesus said in Matthew's gospel that you are to call no one father but your father in heaven only? Did you know that? Nobody. Jesus says don't call anybody father in this world except your father which is in heaven. Why? Because you know what? In fact, I get things in the mail. Cracks me up. And this is the mail I do not open up. I just don't open it. It says on the envelope that it's from the most right, I'm serious, the most right reverend, bishop, pastor so-and-so. Dude, you understand, if I open that thing up, I'm going to get bored reading the endorsements about who this guy thinks he is. If you've got to come on the world scene and say, excuse me, but do you know who I am? Yeah, there's a problem there. There's a problem there. Proud. The disciples were arguing about what would stroke their pride. Isn't it interesting that unbridled human pride sacrifices people for the sake of power? The world is under that horrible sway. That unbridled pride hurts others to make someone pleasurable or happy. Pride uses other people for the sake of status. Pride ruins others for the sake of greed. Look at Wall Street and the Bernie Madoffs of the world and what's gone on. That pride destroys others for the sake of control, totalitarian rule, people being arrested, shut down, sequestered, killed for speaking or for living in a way that doesn't go with the totalitarian rule. Pride seeks to control. The opposite of pride is God's love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, you can turn there if you want, one of the most famous chapters of all of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, listen to that crescendo. I've got all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give up my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long, it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in sin or iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And when you read 1 Corinthians 13, you can take Jesus' name and insert it on top of the word love, and it fits perfect. And then you put your name where Jesus' name was, and you want to go throw up or something. Jack never fails. He's always kind. He's never rude. That's disgusting to even play. I'm joking, and it sounds sickening. Also, this pride justifies its own position. Pride will justify its place. The disciples have justified their position. I should be the one in control. I should be the one to look to. I should be the one that when you guys think a thought in your mind that I come, I'm the first one that pops into your head. Jesus said, on the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. In that culture, the younger one has to do everything. And he who governs is he who serves. Church, listen, this is very important. You can have Bible study, and that's good. But if you go to a Bible study and you study the Bible and you find out more and more about God, are you guys listening? And then you take that Bible study and you forget about it and you don't intend to do anything with it. Okay, you don't intend to do anything with it. That is a very dangerous place to be. Because you will get head knowledge. And you guys, the Bible is unlike any other book in all of the universe. If it's only going to stay in your head, it's going to mess you up royally, tremendously mess you up. The Bible was intended for you to receive it in through your ears, into your head, okay? And when you go, wow, Bible, wow, Bible deep, Bible power, Bible amazing, God do it in my life. Then God takes the Bible that's in your head and he causes it to percolate down into your heart. And when it gets into your heart, you'll know it because you now start doing Bible. Bible starts coming out of your life. You are now a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not just a church attendee. You're for real now. You have eaten enough of the word and you've asked God to bring it to life in your life. And now you walk and you move, you live and you breathe and it's Bible. You're a follower of Jesus. You are a disciple.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Pride on Parade. A presentation taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. It's all part of our teacher's verse by verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you haven't visited our new realradioactive.org lately, well, it's not only a new website, but it also has a new feature that we're excited to have launched recently. And when I say we, that includes Pastor Jack, who's here to tell us about it. Pastor Jack?
Well, thank you, Mike. I am excited about what we are launching right here on Real Radio, and that is really a brand new chapter in our experience with our listeners, and that is a devotional. It's entitled The Words to the Wise, and it's based upon Proverbs 22, verse 17, where it says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge." And I can't think of any greater knowledge than the knowledge of God. And that knowledge that the Lord has for us, he imparts into our lives by our daily experiences. And it's personally written. These are thoughts and experiences from my heart, and I believe that they are personal, and yet they're biblically based. It's how God is speaking to me. And so I'm going to be sharing these with you. And I think maybe together that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as we continue on and encourage one another in our Christian experience. You can simply sign up at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And we are offering now The Words to the Wise, a devotional, something from my heart, I pray to yours. So God bless you as we continue on together.
Okay, so again, that's realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.